From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of January, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at agmarket.net. Agricultural economist Ed Ussett and Dan O'Brien will be here to take up the fundamentals underpinning the marketplace. We'll also talk about pricing out diesel fuel. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. To that with Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Oh, and along the way, I'll remind you to pick up your tickets for next week's Illinois Farm Economics Summits. We'll be in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb. You can register today. If you do so, the cost is $80. Next week, you can walk in. It'll cost you $90 at those three venues to join the Farm Dog team. But right now, $80 online at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day settled at $6.70 and a half. That was down 8 cents. May futures 7 3/4 lower at $6.70 and a quarter. And December futures for next year down 4 at $6.06 and 3/4. January beans at $14.87 and a quarter, down 32. The March at $14.92 and a quarter, 31 3/4 lower. In November, new crop down 19 3/4, settled at $13.97. Bean meal off $1.70 to the bean oil, 65 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat down 16 and a half for the March at 777 and a half, and the hard red at 869 and a quarter, down 18 and 3/4 of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago, $1 and a nickel lower. Feeder cattle down $1.45, and lean hogs were off $2.62 and a half. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 213 points lower for this first full trading day of the year. Wayne Nelson is now here from agmarket.net to take up the marketplace. Hi, Wayne. Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to all our listeners, too. It started out pretty quiet, but just like this morning, then it got pretty active.
Well, it did get pretty active, and it looked like a lot of that action happened in the soybeans and the wheat. What really took place?
Well, you know, we got somewhat of a bearish start looking at the charts as it started breaking down. But basically, we got some pretty good rains in Brazil, some rains in Argentina. Not the forecast isn't so good, but lower energy, all that going on. Talk about China coming back into the market heavily, and yet we're hearing about more and more outbreaks of COVID, which makes thinking their recovery could be a little slower. With that being a little slower, maybe not so quite as much emphasis on buying corn from us in the near term.
So are we talking about a six-month slowdown for them? I think that's what I heard over the weekend on some of the news programs. What is the marketplace discussing?
You know, I think the bad part of it is that we were hoping that in the next 30 to 40 days would be our time frame to ship a lot of corn possibly to them and go that way. So anything over 3 months, it's back into the favored area is South America, Brazil, which they've been doing a lot of their business with already. And I think we saw that sort of coming out of ours. I also, their hogs had taken a terrible hit, during the month of December, and low hog prices don't mean it's a good thing to buy expensive corn to feed them.
What are producers calling and asking you about today very much?
Actually, we had a lot of people that had sold a lot of stuff here delivered in December and first couple weeks in January. They were saying, was this a break to buy? We had to say that the charts have turned around and they don't look as good. But, the way this market has traded over the last 6 weeks, that doesn't tell you that tomorrow's going to be a down day just because today was. But we didn't encourage any buying, but we sure, let the farmers decide what they wanted to do. But most of them were just replacing ownership of something that they'd sold a higher percentage of their crop than what they really want to be sold at this point.
You'll be looking forward to the USDA January crop production, grain stocks, and other reports, WASD included. What are the items you'll be watching most closely?
Well, I think the stocks on that's going to be probably one of the biggest. I mean, they're going to look and see, what they're going to have for production out of South America. But, everybody knows that every day we talk about it continually. But it's what will the government say? When and will they cut our exports in that report? I think that is going to be one of the big things of whether they reduce that number and raise the carryout here. But, we're looking at the weather pattern. It looks like we could maybe change a little bit to El Nino, which means that we could see a little better production in the U.S. It seems the first year of an El Nino generally helps us get back on track from the droughty areas that we have. So, a lot of things and what they project and look is what's going ahead that way.
Hey, thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is with AgMarket.net. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Ed Ossett now joins us from University of Minnesota Extension. He serves as an agricultural economist there. Hi, Ed. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Todd.
I want to go back about 3 or 4 months, maybe all the way to August, when Gary Schnitke, other agricultural economist, and some of the analysts were talking to producers about locking in a 2023 corn price, at least to cover the high input cost. And I suppose some have, but I'm going to guess more than a few have not done anything. So the question is, should they?
Oh, I think I'd be in the camp that says you got to get something done. You can get out of it. You don't have to get everything done. I mean, you don't have to have your tail between your legs, fearful about everything. But there's got to be balance in marketing. And really, the only thing that justifies the high prices you pay for the input that many of your listeners have already paid for their inputs are the prices they've seen. And, thankfully, they're kind of still there. I mean, the last 2-3 months, prices have held fairly steady. In fact, they're better in soybeans, and we're talking 2023, even nearby too. So corn's off a little bit, but not much. Wheat's off a little bit more. And the opportunity is still there. And 2023 is now here. I've been dragging my feet for a long time. But, the new year is here. We got to start thinking hard about that.
How do they go about it?
You can do it on the board. You can do it with, I don't know if you have in your area, if hedge to arrive contracts or basis not established contracts, whatever they go by the name, if they're available, get something done, get something on the books. I know a lot of people are always worried. They're worried, of course, they'll make a sale and the market's going to go up, and which is frankly good. Keep an eye on the fact you've got a whole crop to price, and if you price a little bit and the price goes up, that's good. You want it to go up. But if you have a fatalistic view of things that says if I make a small sale, the market's going to go up, well, trick it, the market. That's what I say. Sell 10-20% and watch it go up. That's good.
What about for soybean? Anything?
Absolutely. I mean, soybeans, the opportunities are better today than they've been for a couple of months. We keep creeping higher. Good opportunity. Like I say, I'm getting a little more, as we speak, I'm getting a little more aggressive about it because we're no longer a year ahead of harvest, like a talk we had in October or November. I've been dragging my feet. Hey, 2023 is here. It's time to get serious about putting some balance into your marketing. If you got nothing done, you got to get something done.
Have you put any thought into the January 12th USDA final crop production report and what it might look like if there would maybe be changes in it?
I think I don't know what's coming. Obviously, I don't know what's coming. I think the sense is that they might make the crop a little bit bigger, and they might trim demand a little bit more, which all sounds bearish, and it is. But if they did that, I wouldn't be surprised to see the market rally. Sell the rumor, buy the fact.
What are the fundamentals in place that make that happen?
Well, we've been dealing with high prices for a long time, and high prices just whittle at demand. You've seen it. You've seen it on the export side of things. Seen it in ethanol for corn. It's just not a robust demand scenario going on right now. And the USDA is always slow to recognize, you know, tends to be slow to recognize those things. They don't get ahead of it. They like to see it and make gradual changes. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see demand trimmed, not slashed, but trimmed some in the January 12th report. And this sense that the crop is going to be a little bit bigger, smarter people than me have been looking at this and believing it. And but, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Todd, you sound good. You must have recovered from all your New Year's parties, which I'm sure you
have. You too.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Ed.
Okay.
That's Ed Us at University of Minnesota, agricultural economist. Now let's turn to an agricultural economist from Kansas State University. We always talk once a month with Dan O'Brien. He's an ag economist there. Thanks, Dan, for being with us. As we talked with Ed, we were discussing what to do about new crop corn sales, particularly as it's related to covering input cost. However, we didn't talk a lot about what the grain stocks numbers looks like and what the production figure for the United States will be. Now, Ed did say he thinks corn might go up, but those two will be really valuable as we try to move into that discussion about ethanol and the demand side. Can you give me kind of your implications for both the grain stocks and crop production figures?
Yes, I think I would agree with what Ed had talked about out of the University of Minnesota. I think that on the demand side, we'll be driven by supply availability. If you look at that corn supply demand balance sheet, we came out of last year at 13.93 billion bushels. If we have something less and still held up pretty well on ethanol usage at projected at 5.275 billion bushels. One thing for folks in your part of the world to remember also is that given the weakness of grain sorghum exports, I think we're seeing a lot of grain sorghum slugged over into ethanol plants or into livestock feeding, particularly on the ethanol side. USDA in that last report raised food seed industrial usage for sorghum, most all of that going into bioenergy, up to from 25 to 40 million bushels. And, you know, and on the edge, on the margin out here in the West, that's helping to cover the shortfall in supplies we have for corn. So so there's more than just 5.25 billion bushels of corn going into ethanol production. It's probably, in terms of all feed grains, it's probably more like 5.315. So again, it's not a major change in the market, but it does alleviate some of the tightness of supplies in the ethanol side. And even with all that, we still see a listing of very limited to no bids for grain sorghum on the AMS, USDA AMS numbers. But boy, there's a lot of, as a local livestock feeder told me, when you look at DDGs coming out of some of our local ethanol plants, they have a different color to them. You know, with the grind that would come through from sorghum, it's a lot redder color than you'd see with normal corn. So I would say when we turn attention to the ethanol market in terms of what's going on in terms of prices, we end up and have at ethanol plants, first of all, in terms of the prices they're paying for corn, in Illinois, on January the 3rd reported an average price of $6.85. Range from 661 to 713. You compare that to where we're at out here in the West. Again, with our drought situation, we're looking at a range of 738 to 794. Again, 765 on average. So just a tighter situation on the supply side. And as you and I have discussed in the past, that has brought into play grain sorghum being pulled into ethanol plants. It just is as it is. When you look at ethanol prices in the Eastern Corn Belt, as of, well, December 27th, a price per gallon on average of about $2.18 for ethanol in your part of the world, and that's still far higher than where we're seeing in Kansas, 201. Interesting, in South Dakota, 285, Wisconsin, 220. So I need to go and I guess gain a greater understanding of what's going on up there. I know they've had some tremendous snows that have really, really impacted them. It's interesting now, the USDA in their National Weekly Grain Co-Products Report is putting out the corn estimated processing value, the EPV, coming out of ethanol plants in the Eastern Corn Belt. That came out for, again, the week ending December 27th at about 8.55, just about the same in Kansas, surprisingly, at 8.57, Nebraska 8.60, again, South Dakota with being snowbound, no doubt, 10.64, and it really, really stands out. So I do think that, we're paying attention as we watch this industry in terms of the amount of ethanol production, the amount of stocks. As you look at production in the last couple of weeks, we did decline a little bit going off into the Christmas season, and stocks did increase some, but we seem to be within the range, I think, of where we've been throughout most of the year. That as the stocks climbed here at the end of 2023, we basically jumped up to about where we were in last year in March, and the season, if we follow the same seasonal pattern, we saw ethanol stocks move higher into February, March, April, and then drop off pretty sharply off into the spring and off into the remainder of the spring and in the summer. That could be where we'd expect things to go this go around. It is also interesting to me as I try to watch that industry to see a little bit of an uptick in U.S. ethanol imports. We had some weeks where we actually brought some in. You know, quite often we're not seeing that. Our exports still are struggling. As I try to calculate the numbers on what you'd expect for this year, you're down at least right now at this time, probably 10% from where you were, and they could be more than that. So, no doubt, the high U.S. dollar that's affecting wheat exports and all of our grains, probably affecting the distillers' grain side also.
At this time of year, producers will now, because we are in 2023, really begin to think about what their diesel supply should look like and when they should lay it in. It's been awfully high priced. Is there any reason to think that they'll have an opportunity to price some of this in the near future?
I guess our opportunities are probably having something to do with the rest of the country's problems in that as demand weakens in a lot of the U.S. sector due to economic issues, we have seen diesel fuel prices drop off. You know, we were just under $6 about just three, four, five, six, seven, 8 weeks ago, and now the latest number as of December the 26th was $4.54 per gallon. So in terms of laying in diesel supplies, I would think that in terms of seasonal usage and farmers' demand in these local areas, that for sure we'll see an uptick as we get into the field work time and in the spring, more driving, no doubt. So our shrewd farmers who know this more than you and I are no doubt they're aware of that seasonality and probably have seen this drop off, and if their finances allow, they're probably locking in some supplies. Again, the issue would be in the spring when we start to see a lot of movement. What will demand do to our still fairly limited supplies? And so I think your hypothesis there that this is the time to look at that, I would certainly agree with.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with Kansas State University Extension. Next week, I'll be on the road with the Farm Doc team. We'll be in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb at the Doubletree Paradise or Ferrandis, and you can join us at one of those venues for the annual Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We'll be in person this year. You need to register. You can do that now either at willag.org or at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The cost is $80 to pre-register, $85 if you mail it in, but you're going to need to hurry on that one, and $90 if you wait and walk into one of those events next week. You can always call if you'd like at 217-244-9687 between 8 and 4 p.m. Central Time. That's 217-244-9687 to get yourself registered for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. The Farm Doc team on the trail next week across the state of Illinois. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin way out west in California, where they're seeing some things that they haven't for a while. I guess there's precipitation in the forecast?
There is, and there has been. A tremendous amount of rain and a lot of flooding in central and northern California. Some levees breaking, causing flooding in Sacramento. And they're measuring the snow in the mountains of California and parts of the Rockies and Pacific Northwest, not with a ruler, but a yardstick. And this is going to go a long way to putting a dent in the big drought that's been covering a lot of the west and southwestern areas of the United States. This pattern of very wet weather will continue for another week to 10 days as a situation and a pattern has developed that we haven't seen in 3 or 4 years. So this is going to do wonders to help put a dent in the western drought.
And does it play further into the Midwest then?
Yeah, I mean, we're already seeing that with a snow event today up in parts of Nebraska, South Dakota, northern Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, all going to see a moderate to heavy snow event. And that's basically a part of the storminess that hit the West Coast over the weekend. So as you get further away from the coast, these storms kind of lose their punch. But this has been such a strong Pacific pattern that we are seeing some systems making their way in. But also what happens is you flood the zone, so to speak, with a Pacific air mass. And that's keeping Arctic air well to our north and will continue at least for another week or so to see temperatures that will be moderate, maybe a little bit above average, no severe cold for a bit.
Are there things of interest for the end of the month?
Well, one thing we're watching is that after that big Arctic outbreak that we had that brought so much cold to a lot of the nation, that released a lot of very cold air out of the northern latitudes. And what we're watching now is that cold air starting to recharge and build up again. We're certainly seeing this in Russia, parts of Siberia, parts of Asia. And we think in about 10 to 14 days, we're going to start to see that cold air want to drop south again. So the middle to the end of January, probably going to be colder than the start of the month.
Anything else we should be up to speed on?
Well, there's a lot going on. Keep an eye out in the west, and hopefully some of that moisture will also get out into some of the winter wheat country. We don't see that in the next week or so, but maybe towards the middle of the month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.